Okay, today is Monday, March 8th, 2010, and I am here with Mayor Bickley. I'm Sherry Bowers, and we're going to talk about the Lambert project. Larry Lambert had taken Mayor Bickley's photo 20 years ago, and he just recently did a retake of the photo, and Mayor Bickley's going to give us a little perspective about the last 20 years. So I'll let Mayor Bickley start and tell us how long he's been mayor here in Milan.
Well, I'm in my 31st year as mayor. I had 10 and a half years as a council member, and I resigned at the last year and a half off my third year term as a council member because my cup pack in Milan here went from 28 boys to 64 boys, so I needed some more time. So the next cycle come up in 76, and I became mayor and for 24 years. And then Mrs. Bickley retired from teaching first graders, so I didn't file for re-election in 2000. And I came back in 2004 and became mayor again. So I'm a slow learner. Eventually, I might get it right. And then how long have you lived in Milan? I've lived putting all my life around Milan, but I've lived on the 58 Edison Drive since 1945. And the old house was built in 1835, but I'm a stonemason by trade, and I could have built Mrs. Bickley any house anywhere. But she chose to live in that old house because it's only 3 blocks from school and 3 blocks from church and 4 blocks from downtown. So it was a nice, good habitat, so to speak. Raised, always had a couple of kids and a couple of dogs and a couple of labs, and it just becomes a way of life. But like I said, I've lived in that same house since 1945. Now I find out I'm the oldest one in that neighborhood. But it was the 1945 when I moved off of Old Plank Road in the town. My father got killed out there at TNT plant, which is now NASA. And mom says, well, thank goodness we're off the farm in the town, sidewalks to shovel and sweep, yards to mow, and rake. You want any money, that's where you have to get it. And being the second youngest of 8 kids, well, it became a way of life, and I've enjoyed it. I still keep in shape by shoveling sidewalks, and like this year.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Bickley, how long you're a stonemason by trade. How long were you in the trade?
Yeah, I started in 1953, and I still do a little putty around consulting, like down to the museum. I did the Four Seasons since I've been retired, the brick spring, summer, fall, and winter, and also the board of sidewalks down there. So you take the boy off the farm, can't take the farm out of the boy. Mm-hmm. The same way being a stonemason, I do consulting work. Mm-hmm. And helping some of the younger fellows, you know, how would you do this? And I said, well, this is the way we used to do it. Mm-hmm. So I still have that knowledge available, and I share it. You know, you don't, like the Lord says, you're not supposed to hide your talents, you know. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to get out and spread them. So I try to do that. The other thing, you ask how long have you seen the role change as mayor? We had mayor's court when I first became mayor in 76, and one of the things that I could see what was happening, that people get elected in their community, got a whole mayor's court, and they never had any training. So as a member of the executive board, we initiated a mayor's court training program, so everybody would be on the same page, the page, so to speak. And it's one of the things that when I wasn't mayor for the 4 years, they chose not to have mayor's court. That's up to the mayor's decision. But this is local people being charged with misdemeanors, traffic violation. In the 4 years I wasn't mayor, the Erie County cases went to Erie County Court, and the Erie County cases went to Norwalk Muni Court in its jurisdictions. And so it cost the village one day approximately $1,500. We had 3 officers in one court, and one another with 2 prosecutors, and then the judges only fined him a little, but never recovered the cost. So I said, well, I got to reestablish mayor's court. So I'm certified until December of 2012, I think, and of 2012. And And Julie Stelzer is my clerk of courts, and so she keeps all the paperwork and documentation ready to go. So this is one of the changes that I've seen that in 20 years. Plus, as you notice around the square, in 1997, I was president of the Ohio Mayor's Association, and it was Edison's 150th birthday. So I found a glass blower in Columbus who could blow the glass, and I gave him this model up here, 1980 model, centennial model, and he blew these glass globes around that, 18 lampposts in the square.
Okay.
And I introduced it at the chamber banquet in February, which we always have at the Saturday closest to Edison's birthday. And but it took council 6 months to give me permission to do it at no cost to them. And Mrs. Bickley and I was going to finance it. After I got him up, then there's other sponsors come up. Can we sponsor one of them? Can we sponsor? So you look at all 18 lampposts, there's a brass plate on there. Said who donated for what person, you know. And I had to drill the 36 holes and tap them, and it's done right, you know. But it's that's a change. And I remember when Larry took that picture, I happened to see how he looked at that porch. I wonder why he wanted me on the porch of the sales house. And it went not downtown, but, you know, that's his genius, you know, that he had to pick that. I have a picture somewhere. I found three turkeys in town in front of that sales house. And I used to say, well, the council, I said, well, you're not the only turkeys I got to deal with.
You know, going back to that picture on the sales house, because he retook, you know, a lot of the pictures where he could, and, you know, 20 years later in the same spot. It's a great picture of you with your cigar
and
your hat and your boots.
Yeah, and hat.
And that's, is that what you would like, if you were to choose a picture, let's say at least one picture that you would want everyone to remember you by, is that one of the pictures on the sales house there with your boots, your cigar, your hat? Is that a picture that you think you'd like everyone to remember?
That's one also. There's another one in the park, sitting on a park bench. Mm-hmm. With the same. It was just naturally they said, hey, we want to do a story about Father's Day. Well, I wanted to talk something about the scouting program. Well, the page shows up in the register of me sitting on the bench, and they interviewed me more or less than what our Eagle Scout project. Now, we got almost 70 Eagle Scouts in the little town, and a lot of compliments have to go to parents and stuff. But, you know, this is something continues to grow, mm-hmm. Is the scouting program. But as far as the pictures, you know, I don't care where they what did he put me in?
Well, I think, you know, the thing is the hat, and I love the story of the hat. Have you always worn a cowboy hat?
In 1954, I took my mother to Lawton, Oklahoma, and she always wanted to see the Easter sunrise service that Bob Richards made. Mm-hmm. And I was single at the time. I took care of my mother, grandmother, and younger sister. And so we took off first time she was ever out of the state of Ohio, so out to Lawton, Oklahoma. I bought my first Stetson. And being in the masonry business, I had to keep myself shade because of the sun beating down on me. Mm-hmm. And then there's a few years, of course, Uncle Sam would let me wear it and do things like that. So, but pretty much I reinstituted about 1976, you know, mm-hmm. in the Reagan eras, you know, and stuff like that. You know, but I raised Herbert's up until 85, and then when the kids were off to college, I couldn't squeeze doing chores in, but it was it's been part of me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have hard hats that they made it. It was approved by I think the Austin Company was the first one. They do a lot of work in the Middle East, and they had that sun protection. Mm-hmm. And so I have hard hats that's like that. I'm just talking to Mary Bruno, our physical officer. She lived on the corner of Center Street and Wilcoxon Street, and a contractor was putting a new sewer line down through there. And she came out, she said, Mom, I think the mayor just fell in a hole, because he said it was a worker down there with a hard hat. So it's been a conversation piece.
Yes, it has. I that cigar, and I'm never surprised to see you when, like, we saw, well, we met the other day on the sidewalk there in the square, and you had your hat on and your cigar.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, that's it's probably one of the unique things about small towns, and it leads me to one of the other questions. I mean, there's so much, there's the good, the highs and lows of being a mayor in a small town. Tell me, what are some of the fondest things you can remember about being a mayor, or any something real that really comes to mind?
In 1984, I was asked to come to the mayor's office in the old town hall and meet a couple of people from Japan. And it was Mr. Tatsumoto, who was the president of the Thomas Alva Edison Historical Club of Iwata City, and his son, Ikaira, who had 7 years of college, who served as the translator. And they invited me as mayor, and I was also a trustee of the Edison Birthplace, to come and rededicate a memorial they built for Edison in 1934, 3 years after Edison died, in token of appreciation of choosing the bamboo from their town that he uses a filament and light bulb. Mm-hmm. And I said, I can't come in 84. I made plans to go to a GOP convention. They held a ceremony over for 1 year. And but since 1984, our children in grades 1 to 5 paint watercolors of Milan's architecture and watercolors and their concept of Edison, 1,093 patents. We've exchanged his culture ever since. And we've sent students over there. They've sent students here. And I think, you know, these are priceless moments. You know, you ask, you don't know. You had to play the cards you dealt, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Then in 1997, they invited me to come back again, and Mrs. Bickley didn't want to goof up her retirement check. So she said, I've been there and done it. So I took Ron and Sandy Johnson, who used to own Johnson Plumbing Heating. And one of the things that we do naturally here, when they came, we put them up in the houses. Mm-hmm. And over there, they put you up in hotels. And someone told the Johnsons that, boy, that mayor of yours, he comes personally to the airport and picks us up. Well, I don't have a staff to send. You know, but these are the small things. And one time, a daughter and granddaughter and Marilyn and I were out by the pool, and these two guys are walking through the house. They said, well, who's that? I said, oh, that's Mr. Tatsumoto and Ikaira. Oh, Dad, they just happened to walk into the house. Well, we've all said, you know, the door is always open, so there's meaning behind words. Mm-hmm. And they stayed at the house, so they felt comfortable with the two labs and the kids, you know, so make themselves at home, you know. And these are the nice feelings, I think, that we have here, you know. That everybody, I think not everybody, a good many people open up their homes to the visitors. And we have to Labor Day weekend.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend. Can you share some Labor Day weekend stories? I mean, because, of course, in this area, when people think of Labor Day weekend, they think of the Milan Melon Festival.
When Marilyn and I came back from Germany in 1957, it was in August, and some of the old-timers said, man, we're glad you're back. We need some a stage built. So I got Pete Vanderpool, who was another contract. We shared our scaffolding that we had available and built the platform for the Queen's Contest in the stage. And I'm probably the last living active member of the festival committee in 51 years. And it was just 1 year after another. And we had hill climbs when they shut off 250. We had a whole hillside there, and then the car used to go across the bridge. And in 1969, when the bridge got washed out, we tried it 1 year. But that was always the Labor Day feature of the festival. And then also, I had a friend who was an iron worker, a skydiver, and I had skydivers in here a couple of years. And I was going to jump with them, and Marilyn says, if you do, your clothes will be on the porch or at the hospital, and any place else, you won't need them. Marilyn and I went to 4JC National Convention. One of them was down in Louisville, and we found this steam calliope. And I said, it took 2 years to get them scheduled to come to the Melon Festival. And that was always the attraction for the Melon Festival. And it's really a homecoming. A lot of the classes have their class reunions here. And it's a lot of people think it is a big fuss. But 3 days is over with. And in 1976, is Governor Rhodes, I think, he came back as governor. And Ohio Department of Development had a helicopter waiting for me down at Edison Park. And so I was the first in the parade as mayor, and I went down there, and we counted cars. And at that time, it said 3.5 people or 3 3/4 people per car. People who wouldn't believe it, the cars were packed, backed up on both sides of 250, I mean, parked along 250 from the turnpike to Norwalk. Mm-hmm. And you know, the grandson or somebody's in the band or somebody's band, you know. And we try to keep the units, a little over 100 units, because we tie up traffic on 601 here and 113 for an hour and a half. But but you never know who's coming home for that weekend. And Memorial Day weekend is the same way. It's a homecoming. The Presbyterian Church has always had a chicken barbecue, and this year the American Legion is going to have one there at the church. You never know who you're going to run into, and it's good to see longtime friends, you know.
It is nice. That's I think the unique things, not only in Milan, but in a couple areas in our community, is the local festival really does draw people in, you know, to the area. And you know, it's a great way to promote the area because, you know, Milan, like so many places, you know, we have a unique history here. And certainly the Melon Festival is one thing you think about. And going back to the hill climbing races, we have some pictures in the local history department of those races. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot floating around, but there are a few.
You didn't have the type of, you had some individual snapshots, but, you know, now, I don't know when the Super 8 came out where you could take the moving picture and really show the real action, you know. Mm-hmm. That took a lot of work. Milt Shane and I used to borrow Milan Steel's, one of the carry-alls, and go out to Joe Henry Barn, load up a bunch of straw, and then after the race is over, you had to pick it up, load it back up, and some of the bundles would be busted, you know, but it took a lot of preparation for these things. And I was chairman of the 11th, 12th, and 13th festival. But it's just, it isn't that hard to put it on, but some people make it miserable. They can't. Mm-hmm. And the last 2 years, I'm upset that they rented a stage because I have the dump truck. I could pull the stage in that we built for that Pacific thing. And that became a landmark almost. And so that's one of the things we try to work out with. And it cost about $3,000 to rent that stage that they had for the last couple of years. And hopefully that they will, the eyes be woke up and not spend that $3,000. When we got one, I pulled it in on Friday morning. It's a systematic thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember over the years when somebody tried to shut the festival down, well, I said, get out of the way. We're going to get run over because this is like a machine. You know, a certain thing has to be done Thursday and Friday, and the electrical department, which we furnish electric for, they have to get down there and get the wires strong and everything. Mm-hmm. It just falls in place.
And, it's amazing when you think of all the people that come here. I want to ask you about an event, something that had happened that I think it impacted so many communities. And of course, like you said, with the bridge going out, and I remember it slightly because I was 5 years old at the time, but July 4th, 1969 flood. You were mayor at the time, correct?
No, not 69. No, I was a council member.
Council member, okay.
Yeah, president of council, I think.
Tell me a little bit about that, because we know as a whole about the amount of rain that fell and what had happened, but a couple things happened here in Milan. Of course, the ledger, blew up with the gas explosion, and the bridge that was washed out. Give me a little perspective about that.
Well, I happened to be up in Lucky, Ohio. I rented a trencher to put in a new water line from my sister's house. And I think it was on the 4th of July. It was a Friday. Well, I got my project done, and I'm bringing the trencher back. I was the third to last car to get across the Huron River Bridge at Monroeville. And when I took it back to Fireland's Tool, Randall, they said, why couldn't you rent it a pump instead of a trencher? I get back to Milan and I can't get out of town again because that bridge had washed out. We had an explosion on Main Street. The Milan Ledger had an explosion. What happened? Water got in the basement, cut out the pilot lights. When the water went down, some gas was still leaking, you know. So these are times when somebody's got to be in charge and having the construction background. Glenn Rockwell, who was mayor, he said, mayor take care of it, you know, or the victim will take care of it. And we got people together and got the pieces. Also, in May of 69, the lightning struck the Presbyterian Church Tower. It blew bricks and block and out there, and I had set up scaffold and repair that northeast corner of that bell tower, and that was something. And we also had a lot of rain in May of 69, which a lot of people kind of forget because the 4th of July would make you forget the previous thing. And So the ground is saturated, so the water, you know, just didn't have any place to go but down the basements and the little holes, you know. But these were some of the, I remember the Boy Scouts troop. Dick Frederick, I think, was one of the Scoutmasters and the Vitez. And the kids are down at Camp Ireland, so they had to come home. They had a hard time finding a way to get across that Yearn River, you know. And so that is another story that Boy Scouts always seem to go on 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. But these are some of the things. But the Mile Leisure, it took a while for insurance companies to find out who's going to clean up and this and that. Plus, they had a lot of stuff down underneath. It took a lot of time for him to get his salvage his equipment out of there. And we had to be patient. We had to board the front of the place up. And so that's how I remember that. But again, whenever we've had a disaster or a problem, people work together.
Well, that leads me to another storm that I remember, and that was the blizzard of 1978.
Yes.
Can you share some stories about 78?
When I retired in 76, as far as getting rid of my employees in the masonry business, it lasted about 6 months. I went to work for Homestead Farm, and I had a 1974 dump truck with a plow on it, so I had to keep the I plowed for 56 hours straight. And one of my trips back to my house, I see the police station all jam full of people. And so I walked in, and everybody's tired from working. And Sue Fonda was in there, and she was with the EMS, the Mine and Fire Department had EMS. I said, Sue, take these people over to the town hall. I think there's cops over there somewhere. You find them, put them up in the council chamber. And I cleaned out the place, and I told Chief Lindy Camp at the time, I said, you go home and sleep, and if you come out before 4 hours, I'm going to fire you, you know, and because you can't make decisions when you're tired like that. And I cleaned that police station. Everything kind of flowed. People couldn't get north of Avery, so they come off the turnpike, and everything was out the Homestead restaurant out there in the motels. And whenever I see a truck who could get back on the pike, well, I go through my snowplow and clean it out. But it was, we was feeding cattle in 7 locations. By the time the storm was over, we was feeding in 5. We had to condense the herds. Again, there was snowmobiles available. The sheriff's departments were cooperating. A lot of them couldn't go anywhere, but Mila, we happened to have a bread truck in town and a milk truck in town. They couldn't get any place else. And Eastman's lived at, that had the grocery store, they lived at south of Norwalk. They couldn't get town. So there was Ethel Horn, my wife, and Gladys Stiroff, Gladys Strait. The three of them ran the cash register there at Eastman down where Jim's Pizza Box is. And so this is how people, you trust people. You know, the police department had keys for locking doors, you know, in case they find an unlocked door, you know, and check the place out. So it was all accountability, you know, and we were self-survivors there. I think one lady out there in Higbee Road had tried, got lost in the blizzard and wasn't dressed for clothes. She was going to walk home, got lost, and couldn't figure out where she was, you know, after a while. And I think that's the one fatality I remember, you know. But people do work, and I used to plow them away from Milan all the way out to Homestead Farms on the corner of Kelly and Strecker Road. And then some lady got snowbound there in front of EMS is now, it used to be Bill's Ohio. So I had to plow up Perrin Road, now Kelly Road, and up to the farm so they get the feed out, you know, so we had to keep a path open, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of cooperation, you know.
Well, that's, you know, it's interesting. Every so often, you know, things pop up about, you know, those events. And certainly that, I think, what helps characterize a community when you hear these stories, because every community has a unique story and how they deal with these events. I know, and you had mentioned Eastman's not being able to get into town. They also told me about the Lawson's truck at the time was stuck on the turnpike. And again, a part of community, you had a couple of people with snowmobiles were able to go get the milk because it was going to spoil. Lawson's called around to try to get rid of it. And I guess, the Eastmans told me that they were able to just give it away at the store because it was going to spoil. Yeah. And it's fascinating when you think the impact that Blizzard of 78 had on this whole area.
Yes. You know, and I think, you got to feed the cattle. You know, that was a priority.
Yes.
But it's amazing that when called to arms, so to speak, how people are willing, you know, and I happened to be in a position as mayor at that time that they knew me. I had served my apprenticeship being a council member, and it was only one disappointment I had was that they was out of power out there to Avery for 56 hours, and that's on Ohio Edison system. I said, well, everything's been repaired. I'm already plowed out there by it, Avery. I said, let me energize that substation. Oh, no, you're not authorized to know this. And they tried for 2 days to get somebody over in Bloomville over there that was authorized to do it. And this is something, that unions and stuff. I belong to the union since 53, but they have certain procedures, you know. Mm-hmm. But I can relate another storm we had out in Lyle Manor, which is on First Energy System. I knew the crew from Norwalk had everything fixed safely. And the Moyer twins came out and they said, how come, they got me from a party somewhere. And so I go out there with them, and I have the Edison license plate, which I bought when I got my 78 Cadillac. And LMR, you said, that's part of the institution around here, the Edison license plate. But anyhow, I pulled up and they had four guys. I said, why don't you energize it? Our union contract says it takes five people to energize. I said, well, look at that license plate. I says, you got five people. It didn't say it had to be five union people. It said, mm-hmm. I qualified them. And the word got out, said, things really happened when the mayor showed up. But understanding the mechanics, you can kind of, like I say, qualify people to get around them, mm-hmm. But service to people, And one other time, I recall our electrical goes out to Lansdowne there, and all the employees decide to go to county fair. I get back, and dispatcher said, they've been out of power for 4 hours. So I went out there and see what was the primary to secondary, and it was the primary, so I had to get the big bucket truck. I went out and found out where the fuse was broken. I trained the guys on the bucket truck years ago, and so I popped a fuse in and it popped back. There was too much of a load on it. So Dick Overmiller, who owned Doris Chevrolet, said, what's the matter? I said, hey, Richard, go around and ask everybody to shut the load off, By the time we got the first couple of people off, the fuse took on, And when he come back, it was off. I said, now go back and tell him to turn it back on again, But I no more got down on the ground and put in a bucket truck. Wait. Why was you up there by yourself? I said, hell, everybody else went to the county fair. but some of the you're able to solve problems, Mm-hmm. And Jim Ward tells another story, and I forget Belinda Huntley. She was with the Travel Review, and she reported for the Chronicle. One Melon Festival, they had these finish gates up here across between the gas station and Mary Street. And I'm out there, because my daughter was running at the time, out in bib overhauls and straw hat, and this couple pulls up in front of the funeral home, yellow curb. I said, hey, I went park over there, that's a yellow curb. Go yourself, They went over to the invention. Well, Chief Ward comes on duty about 10 minutes later. Did you see where those people went? I said, yeah, they went to the invention. So he goes over and says, well, didn't somebody tell you not to park over there? And he also found out they had expired driver's license and things, one thing led to another. And, some old guy over there sweeping the streets, He said, well, they happened to be the mayor. Well, he was sweeping the streets, In this town, they do everything, But Melinda Huntley, she says, Mayor tips his hat. And she had a nice article, and then there's a record of that around here somewhere. But you can't judge the book by its cover,
Mayor, how long are you going to keep running?
Well, until they vote me out or carry me out. I really enjoy it, and we've been able to get a real stable staff here, and I think they all enjoy working around me. And one of the things that this building was taken over, I think, the September of 2003, and nobody was in here but the mayor's office and the physical officer and the administrator's office. And I was on I came back on council for a couple of years, and I said, why aren't you moving in? Well, one excuse after another. So when I took office in January 2004, I called a telephone company. I said, how long does it take you get telephone line transfer? Oh, give us about a week to 10 days. Well, the 12th of January, the utility department was in there. And 5 days later, the police department was in. They said, well, we can't move in because we don't have an aerial or tower. And I said, what happens at 4:30? Don't we let EMS dispatch for us? So I solved that problem. So we've been in there since the 12th of January 2004. And over here at the gas station, they said, man, you can tell your old gray mare's back. It brought activity. You know, here's a nice building. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the council did have some temporary tables in there. And I says, why aren't we using the one that we got in the old town hall? Because Ed Leverett and I did that back in the 60s. Councilman got a half moon. What's in there now? Well, it wouldn't look right in a new building. Well, one of the other things I did in 76, all the employees will meet down to the street bar between 8:30 and 9 o'clock for their coffee break. Before, they used a different time. They always look like a municipal vehicle around the coffee shop. And we have our safety meetings there, and it's a very educational time. The township employees meet there. Mm-hmm. It really became a manpower pool. Well, right after I became mayor, I took my truck and carry-all and parked it over. I said, after coffee break, we're going to load that table up and bring it over to the council room. And one council member, she was still mad because she said, it does look nice after it's in there, you know. Mm-hmm. But you have that vision, you know. And all the holes were cut for the microphones and what have you. So, and it looks like it looks permanent. Before, it looked like a temporary headquarters. Mm-hmm. And different chamber meets here the first Wednesday of the month at 7:30, and it's still a community room.
It's a nice building.
Yes.
And there's a lot of activity you see going in and out. And
yeah.
And that's
we share it with the Red Cross, and they come, I think, on Tuesday or something, give shots and what have you, and blood tests and blood pressure, and I don't know who else uses it on a regular basis. Oh, I have the Red Cross meeting here for the Fireless Red Cross. It's unique for Erie and Erie counties, you know. Mm-hmm. Good meeting place. And we're on it. We just had our Heroes Award banquet, you know. That, in fact, the first, this is the sixth one. The first one, I think a picture here somewhere, Laura Rice. I nominated her because I could always tell when she went to a Red Cross disaster. Pat had to hang out the clothes on the clothesline.
Yes, I know, Mrs. Rice.
Yeah. And but these are, like I say, it's really a community that I feel that I always want to be one of them. Some people get elected, and it's just a title, mm-hmm. you know. But it's so easy to blend in, and they don't care how I always dress professionally when I go out and represent the community. And Mary Bruno can tell you that her office looks up Main Street. And I was shuttling some equipment one day from my house down to my warehouse. And between the backhoe and the van and the dump truck and my 31 unrestored pickup, she kept saying, there goes the mayor, there goes the mayor. And this lady in the office, she says, how many mayors do you have? You know, it's you just played a part, you know.
Well, certainly you could always see you around town. I mean, it's always evident that you're out and about doing yeah. something. You're very visible.
Yeah. Well, it's I own some of the property, you know, around the square at different times. And I used to go down early in the morning. We have a system that snow's got to be off the square by 5:30 in the morning because that's when the coffee shop. And so it was nothing for me to go out and jump on my back, or get everything out to the curb for the mile and in when I owned that and the library's lot. And then go down Front Street and front of the one, the bar in the park lounge. And a couple of years ago, I was plowing snow with tobacco and I fell through a piece of sandstone in front of the beauty shop over there. So she called the police. The mayor just had an accident. Well, everybody heard that on the scanner. You know, they come over. Well, I did. My tire dropped through a piece of sandstone. And mm-hmm. That's all I did. Well, I got access to a piece of steel plate, and I covered the hole, but that was quite an excitement, you know. Mm-hmm. And Mary had an accident.
Right. And
Chief Ward said, I can't arrest him. because he'd get too much more snow to plow. But we do have a system. Everything gets done, and a lot of the other communities are jealous. We have all of our stores occupied but one. It took a while to get the gas station reopened and what have you, but the one that's the Golden Acorn had been rented continuously, so the landlord was able to refurbish it, you know, so to speak, you know, but there's a waiting list for it. And the other thing that I was asked by the paper years ago, why is Milan that successful? I said, most of the property around the square is owned locally, and it's been paid for, so why get what the square footage is that Wall Street Journal will tell you, you keep them occupied. Like Doug Nucky has been my tenant over there for 31 years, and I've never raised his rent. Mm-hmm. So this continue operation. No business is down all over, but you make it so it's affordable.
Well, this has been so interesting, Mayor. I've enjoyed listening to you talk about the town. What is there some other things you'd like to add in closing about?
Well, I think one thing that I continue, I just gave a little history on the scouting program to one of the cutbacks Thursday night. I'm always called into, you know, like today, you know, to give my perspective of the town. And but I really like to, you know, thank the people and who have stepped up to the plate and continue to give their kids the opportunity for the scouting program, because these are our builders of the future. When I became Cub Master, Bill Ortman's boys moved up into scouting, and I was institutional representative. The Presbyterian Church has sponsored the scouting program for over 50 years. Bill said, how about trading jobs? That's okay. But I also said, I'm only going to be in this job for 3 years. You other parents got to learn how this program is working. So one of you is going to step up to the plate, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's worked that way. And once in a while you get like Mr. Simon had just, I think, finished his 12th year as Scoutmaster. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you got to train the next generation to step up to play. And I remember when the ACLU went and challenged a lot of the public buildings and the scouting programs being used as scouting, the American Legion has stepped up and are sponsoring scouting troops. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I don't mind sharing that the year that Cook County was asked to take the nativity scene down, that was put up by employees, the Toledo chapter came down here, and Lois Lewis and Kathy Long were the dispatchers. Who's responsible for that? Well, they said, you have to go see the mayor. I happen to be president of chamber and mayor. And they came down to the Mile End Inn where I was working, and they went back for about a half hour. When they ran out of gas, I basically said, that park belongs to 1,400 people, 200 head of Herefords, 200 head of sheep, 5 deer, 1 billy goat, 1 old gray mare, and that's me. And, well, we came to the wrong place. I said, no, you came to the right place and got the right answer. But people think of public property as just a word, but it's all the people. All of us own that. And now if they want to sue somebody, they have to sue all 1,400 people. You know, and that gives them a different perspective. And too often people cave in. And these are our values, and you're supposed to speak English when you come. All our ancestors did. Now they want, you know, punch one and punch two, and then whenever you buy something, there's five different languages. But it's a world market, too. We understand that. But Milan's been in the world market ever since the canal days. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about entrepreneurs. How would you like to invest in my ship? It's going out in the world. Nope, it comes back. You know, they had the stars and the moon to go by, you know. But that had been an exciting time with Thomas Edison, you know, that here comes another ship, and him and his buddy ran down there, you know. And there wasn't any ships when I, but we used to run down over the hill. Right. We used to clean out the canal as kids. So when the spring rained or it froze down there, we didn't have any deadheads. We used to ice skate down there. Mm-hmm. And we used to ice skate in the Brewery Pond, you know, and these are some of the good memories, too. But we didn't have the TV, and moms used to kick us out of the house, you know, and get out and play. And you had your play clothes.
Right.
And being the youngest of, well, I had one brother 2 years older, and one was 4 years old, and one was 10. And when we lived on Old Plank Road, they had steam engines that ran the rails. And we used to, rather than wait for the second bus, we'd go down and wait on the trestle there and over Plank Road and ride that steam engine up behind our pasture. And my brother, he'd say, "You get hurt, we're going to kill you. You know, Mom's going to be mad we had your play clothes and school clothes." So that was no enjoyment, riding a steam engine, riding the cars, you know.
Right.
But I think we were more daring. We used to play in hay miles. My son is a structural engineer. He licensed in 19 states. And I remember when I had a babysit when Marilyn was teaching or something, take the kids on the job with me. And I remember I built the Ashland Fire Station, and I heard, "Get that kid down, get that kid down." Well, about 6 years old, he walked on the steel behind me about 20 feet off the floor. And I never taught him how to turn around on steel. I said, "Okay, Dave." Now he's about 20 feet from the wall already. And I said, "That's only 4 inches. You got to keep out of it. Remember how you walk the railroad tracks, you know?" But Dave is curved. This is flat, you know, give him that confidence. But kids, they don't have fears. But I never keep him off the ladders and the scaffolding. You know, he was always climbing. Mm-hmm. So he ends up being a structural engineer, and he can walk the steel. Yeah. And my daughter, she knew every tool in the van. She knew the difference between a crescent wrench and the vice grips and the channel locks and all that, you know, and the different sizes. And this, you make your kids all rounded, you know, when they get the chance.
That's a handy thing to know.
Yeah, I know she was married to a Spaniard over in Spain. She could hang a picture on the wall, and he couldn't. And he was a electrical engineer, a computer electric, you know. But it's there's that one picture of the stage and how big it was, and Doris Weiss kind of pretty much designed that, and so that's why I want to get back in town again, you know.
A nice stage.
Yeah. You asked about this picture up above. Marilyn and I went to Australia, and it was a $125 and a 3 hour climb. And you get up on top and you get your picture taken with the opera house in the background. They asked you, "Why you climb?" I said, "Well, I've climbed all my life." And this one couple, they were in a honeymoon. And the bride says, "I'm up here because he made me." I thought it was going to be a short marriage, you know, but it was only five of us in our early morning group. But I have a certificate somewhere that says I climbed at 8:05 on May 4th of whatever year it was, you know.
It's a nice picture.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's probably one of the perks to being mayor as well, because you do get a chance to, like you said before about, you know, the cultural exchange with Japan and meeting different people and all these experiences. And this is part of what we tried to do here with this project too. You know, when Larry had taken the pictures, I knew that the pictures, they're wonderful pictures, but we needed to have some voice with them, because everyone has a story, and these are the stories that make up the community.
It is, and everyone sees it from a different perspective because of a different way of life. And I just happened to think about Alfa Romeo. A day before Marilyn and I got back from Japan, there was a fellow that called from Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, and he said the mayor's got a trip to go to Italy. And everybody, I thought they was pulling my chain, because nobody has ever been out the state, I think, to represent the village. Mm-hmm. And this fellow's name was Craig Morningstar, and he was with Alfa Romeo. They did a survey. There's 18 Milans in the U.S., and they threw all 18 names in a hat. Milan, Tennessee, Milan, Illinois, Milan, Ohio got a free trip to go to Milan, Italy, to help kick off the 75th anniversary of Alfa Romeo. And the car they brought out that year was the Milano. Mm-hmm. Now, Mercury's called theirs the Milan, you know. Mm-hmm. But we got a chance with the mayor of Milan, Italy, to go through the Scala Theater, get on television and promote the new car they brought out. Mm-hmm. So this is something you never know. Then I said, I want a car for the Melon Festival that year. there's only five dealers in Ohio, and a lot of them didn't know what a mile in Ohio was. And a fellow came from Beechwood, and him and his son, and he was a salesman, and they had me a car after riding in the parade for the Mellon Festival. And once you know it, hey, the mayor's riding in a foreign car. So he took the flak, you know, with it. But I had to prove there was such a car. You know, I remember Alfa Romeo was a racing car and all that. And I never realized they made a domestic car, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So that's what that flag reminds me of. So it's just endless. Mile being a public power community, this joint venture, Mile is one of 42 communities that invested in the hydro plant down on the Ohio River. We're looking for energy down the road 50 years, so we're still going to be self-sustaining renewable energy. So we're on top of that. And American Municipal Power also has four wind turbines up Bowling Green, and that's renewable energy. Mm-hmm. But you think about wind power. You take 365 days a year, it only produces between 23 and 28% of the time. You know, so it's not a sole solution. You know, it'll help. And Mrs. Heckelman, she has one on the corner. Kelly and Strucker have the first one in Mile Township. And this is probably shaving her peak, probably 50%, 50 to 60%. But I don't know if she ever lived long enough for her to get her money back, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know there's a lot of exploration in that area, yeah. But it seems, Mayor, that Milan, as small town as it is, stays on the forefront of a lot of these things.
Well, like I say, we have a good staff. We have our own water, sewer, and electric. We're self-sustaining in Mayor's Court, one-stop shop. Yeah, and I think that thinking of what other resources, you know, the fine library, the museum, and then the birthplace, you know, it's a natural that you can ask for a better quality of life. And we were talking earlier about grants. You know, Ann Bastelone has been able to get a lot of, her and her staff have been a lot of grants for the museum, so they keep updating stuff. And I remember years back, David Morgan got a grant from the library when he put a lot of stuff in the microfiche, you know, and that was a method back then.
Right.
Yeah, and thanks, you know, to Tom Rio and some of the other donors that, you know, got that cemetery. You go there and find a card and a name and get you a map, and a lot of valuable resources there, you know.
There are. We do, and there's quite a bit of between the three places with the birthplace, the museum, and the library, some interesting, you know, we all have our strengths and our little niche areas, and that's wonderful. That, and that probably sums up a lot of the community.
Yeah. Well, 1980... I think it's when they built the connection, the addition, the trustees came and saw me because I was a promoter for historical preservation. I said, I know with the Williams Trust, you've got probably enough money to do it right. Match the architecture, because a lot of the designers like to do their own thing. Well, we try to keep the continuity in this town. And I think that's the value asset. A lot of people don't understand what that is, you know, but I tried it when I was a council member back in the 60s. I introduced an architecture review board ordinance, and they tabled it. They didn't understand. It took 1976 when all these earth tone paints came out, and they started blending things, bringing back the detail in this architecture. People understood where I was coming from. I was just too many years ahead of them.
Well, in Toledo, of course, you know, still Toledo's Old West End is very active, and they have a architectural review board, and and, you know, there are communities that have that, and it's worked very well, you know.
And I had a simple one. I got ordinances from the Ohio Municipal League, from other communities, and I reduced it down to a one-page part of our zoning. Anything torn down, blown down, or burnt down had to be replaced by a similar piece of architecture compatible to that neighborhood. And it's so simple, and maybe it was too simple, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was just a focus. People wasn't, nobody's going to tell me what I can do outside of my house. It was only visible from the street side, you know. Mm-hmm. But why not bring out the architecture? And it's worked pretty much around the square. I had Jim Meacham, the architect, draw me renderings of the square. If you bought a building, I'd say, now, if you're going to make a change, and here's a free rendering, I hope you keep it on this. This worked outside of it. We got the one over there in Front Street. They went the vinyl siding and stuff, and they shorten the windows. But it can be all returned, you know, to the original architecture if you want. The right owner gets it. Right. And like in the Wonder Bar, you know, I took off the plywood and opened up with energy efficient windows and put air conditioning outside. It looks like an old character, you know, like the owner and the tenant, you know. Mm-hmm. But that stucco, they etched the brick, so I couldn't take it all off. I just took off the loose and let it weather, and then I sealed it and around it. A lot of people were concerned because at Eddie's Wonder Bar at one time, now they painted over that with just the Wonder Bar. You know, these are some of the things you bring out. Oh, I didn't know that was back there. Or like those three round windows. That used to be another story up there, and they took that top story off, and it was like a hotel at one time, and they just put the three round windows for ventilation, you know. So.
Well, see, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah. Wondered about that.
It's never ending. It's like when we had the fire here in 1888, the town hall was only 12 years old. It started where the funeral home is. It wiped off the roof of the Mile End Inn, the town hall, and the Presbyterian Church. And, of course, the firefighting apparatus wasn't great, but the Mile End Inn and the town hall had these stabilizing bolts in it that held the walls from falling. And all they had to do was replace the wood, you know.
Wow.
So we had that reenactment of the town hall in the corner of Stone Lane. And we looked in the township minutes and the village minutes. It wasn't. It was in the Masonic Lodge, Erie Lodge, because customary, the Grand Master of a particular state would come. They have a cornerstone laying ceremony. And this started, goes way back to George Washington. And we had a reenactment of that. And I bought the Mile and Ledger for $500 and all rights and benefits. And I reproduced the Mile Ledger that in 76, tried to make it look like the same format. It was like 1947. Everything was Edison for his centennial. So I don't know if you have a copy of that Mile Ledger for 76. I'll get you one.
Okay.
I only had like 500 of them printed, and I had them numbered. And I give them Masonic Lodge number 239. It's a telling the story of my goals, but it also what happened in 1876, you know, and brought back some of the history. Then we have the history book. You know, it's just never ending. We put the history book together from January 2nd till July 2nd. And different people could work on it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and bring a book together. And Sue Fonda was moved in catty corner from me, and she worked for North Star Council of Government at 12 Main Street. I said, now, Sue, you're going to get the call, and I'll take a dump truck to work. And so you come and get me. So she comes out on her job. We had to get them back in town before 3:30, because that's when the village and the township employees would go and help me unload it. She comes out on one of the homestead farms, and she said, Mary, I'm ready. Let's go. I emptied my tools out of the truck, and her and I took off. Nobody knew her. Nobody, old Tom was gossiping, you know. And that night, we had an autograph party, and Wallace White and Gilbert Wallace is there. And, of course, her husband in Maryland. And come here, Sue, and I give her one of my hugs. And Jim says, I'm glad you did. You've been accused of doing that. And Marilyn says, I always said it, Bob, could squeeze that extracurricular activity in his schedule, more power to him. Kind of broke the bubble, you know. But this is, again, another fun moment, you know. Mm-hmm. And here, Gilbert Wallace and Wallace White talk. They would never argue history. And all history is we repeat what somebody else has written. And I read it beyond another source, you know, and that's the way they presented himself in that book, you know. Mm-hmm. But Don Sletzman took on the chairmanship of that committee, and they did a wonderful job with a bunch of volunteers. Another example of what people do in this town. And we wanted to do a second edition, but who's going to do it, you know?
You never know. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But time to call another generation to take charge.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I give my daughter the family tree to carry on, mm-hmm. you know, and... So you got to put responsibility down. It's like when you loan out a key, along with the key goes responsibility.
Right.
You know, and the same thing, we give them a book, you know, I read it, and I know the new owners of the homestead, I gave Melanie and Brandon a copy of the book, and they got little kids. I said, it's something the kids can do while they're waiting for you. I'm reading it. And I said, next time I see them, I'm going to examine them on the history, you know. Mm-hmm. But you give them a goal.
Right.
Like you have my my card, you know. It's called a challenge. That I've used that since 1976. This is something that keeps me focused. And hopefully that, you know, I give it to the scouts and give them, because they're going after these awards, you know. Some little kid, yeah. It's good to see kids. That's our future.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Mayor. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Or
no, I think that I've taken up enough of your time. But
no, this has been enjoyable. I think this is so worthwhile to the community to hear what you had to say. And you shouldn't stop talking about it, because you have a lot of great stories to share. And we appreciate it here at the library. And I know, you know, people appreciate, Mayor, and what you've done. So thank you so much. And we look forward to more conversations.
This is one day after another.